Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Joe D calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
All right, you may not be in paradise, but we're rocking today on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive radio talk show, with your host, Ray Guarino, Soul Man, and soon-to-be Vegas-bound Joe D, and our guest...
Yeah, who'd you get with the net this week?
Yes.
Yeah, you stand out there by the entrance, you're right on Old Country Road over there, and next thing you know, or Stewart Avenue.
I flag him down.
Pays. Yep.
We have our good old friend Pirate Paul in the studio with us today.
Can I have some of that candy?
Yeah.
They couldn't get anybody the A list. There you go. Or the B list.
Right, right. Well, we moved down C, D, whatever. We thought we were on the buggy list, but we're
down to P for Pirate.
Exactly. P for Pirate.
P for Pirate, right.
That works.
So,
you can get a hold of us at 516-572-7440. Check us out on the web, motormouthradio.com. Listen to us on iHeartRadio or Performance Motorsports Network.
Yep.
So,
we're all over the place.
I couldn't find my sounder. Chris still has it. I got to get it from him of the brake squeal. But I want to talk to you because you had a problem in the last few weeks that we've talked about on the show.
Yes, we're going to give break. Yes. We're going to give people a break today.
And,
break.
And you've solved
actually,
it.
I have two brake things. So,
well, the one that I want to talk about first is on the Dune Buggy. You had a problem with your .5 brake fluid.
Yes.
Your brake light switches were failing.
Yes.
Tell us about that and how you fixed it.
Okay, well, the Dune Buggy, like a lot of old Volkswagens, use pressure switches for the brakes as opposed to the old push-button switch on the brake arm. So I decided to go with the .5 fluid. And after the buggy sat in storage for the winter, I took it out. I got maybe a few weeks' worth of operation, and my brake light stopped working. After the second time it happened, I decided to do a little research into why this is going on, only to find out that apparently these pressure switches don't play well with .5.
Mm-hmm.
And I found they tend to seize.
First of all, let me back up a minute. I saw my friend Barry over at Neighbors Auto yesterday. I got an inspection on my car, and I was telling him about this. And he, like other people, said to me when I told him you did .5, they said, why? Why do you use .5? And, you know, obviously the wet and dry boiling point is higher on .5. But I said, you know, the other thing is it doesn't eat paint like .3 or 4. I said, that's probably what he was shooting for because he has a real nice paint job. What was your reason for the .5?
My main reason was the corrosion issue. .4 and 5 absorb moisture. .3 and 4, excuse me, absorb moisture.
Right.
And a lot of people have said that in vehicles that tend to sit for a long time, like laid up over the winter, .5 is the better thing to do because it keeps the brake system from corroding.
Okay.
And that was the real reason I went with it.
I thought it was just because the purple color matched the Dune
Buggy's. Well,
that too. outside color. You know. So you'd have the same color blood as skin.
Well, the purple actually fades away.
Oh, okay.
Because apparently there's a law that says brake fluid has to be a certain color.
Yes. It has to have a, so it's easily identified.
Has to be what, like a tan or clear?
It's kind of like a honeyish amber.
It's like a honey gold.
Well,
yeah.
That's what I mean, tan amber. Right. There was actually brake fluid called Super Blue that was actually outlawed.
That was by, did Motol make that?
Somebody like that. But it was actually outlawed.
Okay.
Because it was blue.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I remember seeing that. I saw stuff years ago. Yeah. Okay.
So basically the switch over back from the switch, you know, I built the system brand new. So I went to .5 right off the bat, silicone fluid.
Right.
Which wasn't bad. That switch back was a nightmare.
Yes.
Because the cleaning, getting silicone fluid out of anything is not easy.
You know, we talked about that, and the question is, you can do a flush, you can take, you know, calipers and wheel cylinders apart and things, but there's always little nooks and crannies and lines and hoses that stuff, residual, can stay. And then the question is, does that really matter? And no one ever knows, because how can you do quantitative testing on that?
I mean, no, it's impossible. And, you know, there is quite a bit of that, depending on who does people's oil changes, where you get the somebody who decides, oh, this must be where the power steering fluid must go.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, like every piece of rubber is kind of like cartoonishly expanded. Yep. And, you know, that's always fun.
The great thing about this right now is, and I got to say, this is a unique experience for people listening. They don't realize, between the three of us, the stuff we've done in our careers with, and Paul obviously does what I do, take stuff apart. We diagnose. We'll go in and forensically analyze stuff and think things out like this.
And then I got cable.
And then, yeah. And then Velocity Channel hit. Yeah, or Cartoon Network, more important.
That's more me.
So for anybody who's interested on that level, you know, you're talking to three people who really think that stuff out, maybe too much, and maybe to the point where it shouldn't be thought about, but that's who you're talking to right now. So,
it's always great material for people to make fun of you.
Well, yeah, that too.
True.
But you talk to guys like yourself, and then, you know, like when Paul ran it by me, I didn't deride him. I was like, ooh, good topic.
Yeah, know? Definitely.
It's
he's like, oh, do you want to come in next week?
Yeah, I said, you got to come on the show.
Well, this could happen to you, folks. Let's face it. You know, if somebody innocently dumps the wrong stuff into your brake system, you have a little bit of work to do. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of bit of work to do.
Well, just pay
and a lot of bit of money to spend as well.
So, the flush was pretty easy. Did you do it manually or with the aid of a flushing tool?
I initially did it with a vacuum.
Like a mighty
vacuum flush unit, a mighty mm-hmm. vacuum. Well, not okay. A vacula.
A vacula. Yeah, that's the discontinued. You can't buy them now. But I do have a mighty vac version of the vacuum.
Right, right.
Yeah, they do make one.
And basically, I sucked everything out of the system. I took, on that particular master, I have the plastic reservoir that snaps into the grommets. So I was able to remove it,
mm-hmm.
flushed it out. That was the only way to get it really clean. Mm-hmm. I flushed the master. I kind of cheated with the master. I flushed the master really well. I didn't take the master cylinder mm-hmm. apart.
Right.
But I did take all the brake cylinders out. I took them apart. I cleaned them. I flushed all the lines. I flushed it with denatured alcohol.
Okay.
Is what they recommend, but it doesn't.
That's pretty much the accepted
really,
norm.
See, well, it doesn't do much with silicone, though.
Well, that was another question that came up, and someone said, you know, when I told them what you were going to do, and they said, is he going to flush it with alcohol or with brake fluid, with like .3 or .4 brake fluid? I'm like, you know, that's a good question. I wonder, what would be if there's a difference.
.3 or .4 doesn't mix with .5. It's like oil and, you know,
well, but the idea
of
put it behind it and let it push it out until you see solid
really,
.3 or .4.
It doesn't really do it. What I did was, because they were all steel lines, first thing I did was do the denatured alcohol.
Yeah.
And then I actually took a little pressure pot device I have, and I filled it with lacquer thinner.
Okay.
And I blew lacquer thinner through the lines. Then after the lacquer thinner, I shot brake clean through the lines.
Oh, jeez.
And then compressed air.
Wow.
I wanted this stuff out of there.
You got everything
in there. It was a lot of work.
I drove in the buggy on Friday night, and we didn't die.
We're still alive.
We stopped, so I guess it worked.
I tell you, though, I do have a more solid pedal.
Okay.
Sure, it was a little sponginess.
.5 is known for a sponge.
Because it's known for holding air bubbles. Very micro-sized air bubbles.
Micro bubbles, right.
And makes it compressible.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, for the most part, anybody driving on a street-driven vehicle, you know, an everyday-type vehicle, .3 or .4 is just fine, especially if you take it, if you've, you know, flushed the system with any type of regularity. I have had people where we've done brake fluid flushes just because it's like, you haven't touched it in how long?
Because it looks like coffee.
Right, right. And
That's a New York term for you, out-of-towners.
Coffee.
Right,
yeah.
Coffee.
Yeah.
I realize that, yeah.
And not to mention that there's little bits of copper coming out of things.
Copper, rubber.
That could abrade.
All sorts of metal,
So changing brake fluid is a good idea. And a lot of people have commented how their brakes feel better after having it done.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, so it's something that should be done every. There's usually a specification in the service information for the vehicle, which tends to be about anywhere between 2 and 5 years, mm-hmm. depending on the particular manufacturer. But it's always a good idea, you know. And it's easy enough to do. Yeah. It's pretty much put the car up in the air, crack the lines, make sure nothing goes dry, and just keep it coming. Let it gravity bleed.
We've talked about that. Gravity bleed is great if you can. I've done a lot of brake flushes in my time, and some cars just don't want a gravity bleed. Some do it like it's like you're slicing. You know, it's like Frankie Five Angels in the bathtub. Just like open the veins and let it go. And others just don't. So, you know, we all have a variety of tools we use, like the pressure bleeders and the hand pumps and mm-hmm. the good old call out your wife and say, yeah, you pump and dump, you push, I'll tell you when.
There you go. Yeah.
My final bleed I did that way. Right. And of course I get yelled at. What do you want me outside for now?
Yeah.
Yeah. my kids were I was having brake issues at one point, and we had to bleed the brakes on a regular basis on one of the cars. Mm-hmm. And my kids, no, pump, 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 hold. You know what I mean? They have that, like, in their heads.
After a while, they learn the cadence, and they know.
Right,
you know?
Right. You know, so it's pretty, it's something that we all get to impart.
I've done that with my older daughter, and she learned, like, she would just go three times and say, okay. You know, and I know, open, and she
right.
and you can even, when you're under the car, you can hear and feel that vibration of the
Yeah,
of
you
the
feel
pressure.
Things moving around, sure,
yeah. Yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
And
so.
The other trick is you always teach them to put their foot under the pedal.
Under the other foot under the pedal so you don't bottom out the
right.
the pedal and
otherwise
travel
you're
the
buying
master.
A master.
Right, travel a master, the bore, the piston past its normal resting place in the bore.
Mm-hmm. That I've never done.
Oh, yeah.
See, I learned something today.
Well, yeah.
It was worth coming.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. I never did it for a long time until I popped the master.
Right.
And then somebody's like, you don't put your foot on the pedal. You don't stop the travel. I go, no, why should I? Over travel.
It's like a piston in a cylinder bore. Yeah. You get that ridge on top because that's where the piston stops at top dead center. If it goes past that, let's just say forget about hitting valves. If it went past that, it would hit the ridge and have a make an issue. Same thing. The bore in the piston in the master cylinder stops at a certain point all the time due to the fluid pressure.
Mm-hmm.
If you let it go past that, you hit a part that was never used.
Right, and at which point then the cup, well, the seal just decides to go somewhere where it has never gone before.
You can say that piece of the bore was new or mm-hmm. never, ever
worked
before.
Yes.
So now it's going into catastrophic failure.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And usually it's catastrophic and it's like, oh, geez, the garage wall.
Yeah.
Garage Oops.
Wall.
Yeah. Or it's more phrased, oh, geez, the garage wall.
Exactly.
You know, I picked up, back in the day, I picked up a 71 Vega
mm-hmm.
for nothing. Because two different people could not get a pedal on the car.
That's a crappy deal. They should have paid you to take it.
I know.
Right.
It didn't smoke.
Really?
It didn't smoke, believe it or not.
Did it start?
You know, it ran. Yeah, it ran, but
wow.
we ended up smoking. It came from a friend's sister who babied the car.
Right.
And was one of the only Vegas I ever knew that didn't smoke.
Wow.
But nobody could get a pedal on this car.
Wow, that's wild.
It ended up being, believe it or not, I had the car home, and I was bleeding it. I couldn't get a pedal on the car.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, I just, in frustration, on the front calipers, I just took the bleeder completely out.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend hit the pedal, a big air bubble popped out.
Wow.
Only after I took the bleeder out.
That's a big one. Yeah.
And then I got a pedal.
That's wow. good.
Yeah.
I never saw one where the bleeder wouldn't get the air out.
That must have been some bubble.
Yeah, it was big, just big bubble.
Hmm.
And then pedal.
No,
like
there are some cars that, because of the way things sit,
yeah.
that the air just like never comes out. You know.
My Fiat, mm-hmm. case in point, if you look under that car, the way the lines run, they do this weird serpentine thing under the car, and like there's so many little turns in there. And they, you know, I've actually taken some of them out, but you know, some of them were just, I would have to redesign the whole system.
I think probably Fiat got a deal on some really long lines, and rather than cutting them, they just kind of...
And a good bender, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to bend ourselves into a commercial here, because... I feel sometimes like I have not enough time to do things, or then again, sometimes there's too much time on my hands. So we'll just...
Linear time.
We'll come back in a few minutes. Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D. with Pirate Paul. Keep it where you got it.
Hey,
just got a ticket from one of those red light cameras.
Good news. My show, Law You Should Know, can help you fight that.
My brother just got arrested for shoplifting.
My show has info about that, too.
My mom told me she's worried about whether she needs a will.
Law You Should Know can help her with that.
My cousin was hurt in a car accident. Can he sue?
Law You Should Know can help with that, too.
My uncle has some legal questions, but he doesn't think he can afford a lawyer.
Tell him to be sure to listen to Law You Should Know every Wednesday at 3 p.m. or Sunday at 7 a.m. for lots of free info about the law right here on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard. Join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. The free-for-all is a free-form mix of rock and roll. If you remember, rock radio used to mix it up, but now they just play Hotel California every 18 hours. It's not a law, but they're working on it. So join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Replays every Saturday morning, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. right here on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
All right, like Dennis DeYoung, I sometimes have too much time on my hands. Not really, because then that means I'm sleeping. That's usually how it works. I'm back here with Hands Full on Motormouth Radio. Your host, Ray Guarino, with Joe D., who is the only man who I know does kung fu with a CPU, and Pirate Paul, who does all sorts of crazy things with audio gear that you don't want to know about.
Right, yeah. We have to keep that stuff discreet, because that CPU kung fu, besides rhyming, is you got to watch those. You got to watch the soldering. The soldering,
you get kung fu.
Yeah.
Never heard of that.
No,
you see, hang around long enough, Paul.
Around this place? What are you kidding me?
So, I want your guys' opinion on something. Another brake question.
Oh boy,
the rotors on the Ram have seen better days.
On your truck,
my
Dodge truck, Ram,
05 Ram.
Okay, mm-hmm.
Have seen better days.
Mm-hmm.
And
how many miles on the truck?
51.
Okay.
And they're going...
Don't feel bad. Look, I got to change the rotors on my wife's Cruise. Cruise that only has 31 on it, or 37 on
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. I was considering the vented, slotted rotor setup.
For anybody's in particular? Any manufacturer?
I was looking at one. I don't recall the brand name, but...
I have preferred centric brakes. We talked about this last week, Joe. I've used them on a couple cars. Really like them. They're black nitride coated on the bare parts. Mm-hmm. They last really long. And you can get them in different stages of dress, either standard or drilled slotted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what,
right.
What are your...
Well, I mean, my first question is, expecting to do many carrier landings?
A couple.
Okay.
Not really.
I mean, you got 51,000 out of the original brakes? Or the original?
No, just the rotor. I think I've done like one brake change, you know, front pin right. change on that, really.
Right. I mean, as a rule, what I see is that, you know, on modern cars, you may get two brake jobs out of, especially in the front, out of rotors, because of the materials in the pads. You know what I mean? They just eat the rotors, and then they get to a point where they've been lathed down for you mm-hmm. without you knowing it. So, yeah, I mean, if you've got situations where you're going to be putting load on the brakes, yeah, I would definitely go with
towing trailer occasionally.
Sure, okay, like that would definitely qualify.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Centric's got some good stuff. They actually are the descendant of, I can't remember what big old school brake company.
I don't recall.
We
were talking about this last week. I remember because we were talking about it for
right,
our own cars.
Yeah, I had a moment of lucidity because I popped it out.
What was
that
company you said you like to use for brake pads? It was a three letter.
Akebono.
Akebono, because yeah. I saw an ad for them in Motor magazine. I'm like, hey, they got a full page ad in Motor.
Yeah, they're good stuff. They were OE Toyota, and I think somebody else for the longest time. They it's like anything else. Any of these companies, they have the value line.
Right.
You know what I mean? The price shopper special, and then they go all the way up to something which they might even have the same or very close to the original equipment replacement.
Right.
Which is what I like to use myself.
Yeah.
Let's see if we have OEM or recycled stuff on the phone line when we say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Good morning, Motor Mouths.
Oh, it's Richie Yang. What's happening, Rich?
Master
Good
Yang.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
I I don't know what the topic is today.
We're talking about brake flushing and bleeding. Paul had to do a brake flush on his Doom Buggy from dot 5 back to dot 4 because his brake switch went into cardiac arrest.
You dot 3 be over with it. All right. Anyway, I get some Motorcraft silicone brake caliper grease and dielectric compound in the Amazon mail yesterday. And I knew... I was going to confer with Joseph on this XG3A, all right, because it says for ignition wires, coat the entire interior surface of boots before installing, and then it says, note, this is a good one here, for high voltage circuits only, not for use in electrical connectors.
Okay.
What would be the malady of using a dielectric compound
depending on
electrical connectors like they do from the factory on several brands of automobiles?
You got the right guy here. Paul's going to talk about it, but I'll add my two cents first. I'll tell you this. It doesn't insulate because I've actually put a dab of it on a non-conductive surface and used an ohm meter and found that it wasn't insulatory. It basically just kept out moisture
at
that point.
No, the whole point of dielectric grease is it's an insulator. So my only thought could be that they don't want you to use it in low-voltage circuits because
you use it to help conduction, like between a rectifier, a regulator, and a substrate to help conduction and shed heat?
Not so much. No, it's really more as an insulating grease.
Look up the Wikipedia link, Joe. Let's see what they say.
Anyone who's changed taillight bulbs in 1157, 2057 type sockets knows that the factory used a grease in there which had multiple properties.
Right.
What was that grease in there?
But as a matter of fact, I actually saw that. I was checking out at one of the mass marketing auto parts stores. They actually had little packets of bulb grease.
Bulb grease.
Which I bought one just for the sheer hell of it.
Grease.
Bulb grease.
I wouldn't touch that line.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, at least it wasn't for front ends.
I did think of you when I opened the package, Richard.
At least
grease, yes.
Listen, it could have been for front end ball joint use. That would have been a little different, so forget about that.
But that's that pasty brown...
The brown stuff.
Yeah, which is probably the first thing I assigned the terminology schming to. You know what I mean? But, remember schming? You know, I was saying, hey, this thing's full of schming. You know, but...
That socket grease was hard to get off of your hands, but a lot of times it had already been cooked by the bulb for a while, so...
Well, that's what happens with dielectric. You take an old piece of audio gear apart or electronic gear, and that dielectric will actually split, crack, cake up if it's in there for many years.
You're talking...
Some does, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different, a lot of different types of grease. Now,
The
silicone thermal compound is something completely different again.
Yes.
Okay, then you have the...
What about what grease would you use in an electrical connector to properly create a moisture barrier?
You know, Paul, you gave me a tube, like from a grease gun.
Yes, the with clear silicone.
And I use that on everything.
Yes,
I put
so
it
do
in
I.
the spark plug wires. I use it on my ground connections. I use it on everything.
Yeah,
and
I don't think that the high voltage dielectric grease is going to hurt your connection necessarily, as long as you don't slather a ton of it in there.
The question is using that on a low voltage.
No,
connection.
On a low voltage, I don't think so. As long as you have a good mechanical connection, because it's going to displace the grease.
Mm-hmm.
There could be a possibility of maybe the silicone is giving some sort of a coating. Maybe the bulb grease would be the way to go because that's being used in a low voltage circuit.
Well, I also know that GM, in certain connectors, they tell you to put their dielectric grease on the face of the connector or whatever to kind of help seal it. Yep. So, I mean, as far as not use it, I think if you keep it down to a pound, then you're really not going to have a problem. I've gotten into the habit of using it without hitting the contacts.
I got to tell you guys something. You know, when I work on my own cars, the family cars, I always do all that stuff. And, of course, brake grease, everything the way it should be. But I've worked in shops, and I go for the stuff, like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to grease. No, come on, we got to get the car out of here. And I think what I do that's right is only such an infinitesimal grain of sand in the bucket of what people do to cars. And they drive around all the time on them, and they probably just wait for a catastrophic failure, and they got to change all the...
It depends.
And then I say, does it really matter? And then my other voice is, yes, it does. Keep doing it the right way.
Well, there are some cars that that'll be here in 20 years, you know what I mean, and have 200, 300,000 miles on them. And there'll be other ones that'll make it maybe 10 years, and then they become tuna fish cans.
And then there's our listeners' cars.
But, I mean, these connections you want to use it on, are these high current connections, or are they just, you know, something small?
I still have customers that come in and say, I tested my own alternator by taking off the battery cable.
Right.
And the car remains running. It's still the ECM, VCM, everything is sitting there happy as a lark. If I ever did that, $6,000 later.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You'd put the case up there. Well, that's like going into the brake stuff. I was read, you know, that you crack the bleeders on a car with ABS when you push the piston back. Nobody does that. And the last time I had I had swapped the brake job at one of these shops that I deal with, they, of course, laughed at me because I was, you know. And,
Joe, I even do that at a car without ABS.
Right.
Because the dirty fluid behind the piston you want out
goes backwards,
first.
Yeah. And guess what? I ended up putting in a hydraulic unit in the car. So, I mean, you know, 1 out of 100, but if you're that 100th guy.
I'm always that 100th guy.
I know. Rich, you're just a standout. What could I say?
Do it the right way, and you're sure to get screwed. That's right.
Yeah, let's face it.
All right. Anyway, I just had that dielectric, high electric question there, so.
Yeah, I personally use it, you know, on everything. Yeah. The XG3, that's the same as pretty much everybody's dielectric grease. I mean, motor.
Well, I bought, of course, Super Lube's high dielectric. They don't say anything about that on theirs.
Right.
But,
Motorcraft. Yeah, Motorcraft tends to make, like, their brake fluid is probably is well known as being, the heavy duty stuff is supposedly well known.
I'm going to go Google Bulb Lube. Let me see what I come up with.
All right, Rich, you got to hear about that.
Have a great day.
All right, Rich. Thanks.
Bye-bye now.
So long. That was Richie Yang, the eye in the sky on where anything technical is concerned. Yeah.
Yes.
But it raises good questions as always. You know?
Right. I mean, I think people tend to... I have had people... You take the connector apart and it just oozes.
Yeah.
I don't think anything's supposed to ooze.
No.
And, you know, I would rather see it packed. You know, I would rather have a light coating to keep the... To keep the moisture penetration down, rather than have the thing just turn into the green grunge, which that was half my day yesterday.
Yeah, let's see if we can take a quick call before our break. Caller, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey Ray, it's Al Handy. How are you?
Oh, Al, what's happening? We were just talking about you at breakfast today.
Oh, you okay?
Yeah, we have Pirate Paul with me us today, who was also at Carlisle. I was telling him about your exploits.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's I don't know. I don't know what you had in mind that you wanted to talk about, but we can shoot over that. What's up?
Brakes. I want to go back to the brakes.
Okay.
But I got the you're just talking about ABS.
Right.
So I'm figuring that I need to flush the systems on both the truck and my wife's Compass.
Mm-hmm.
Both have ABS, and at least the truck has it in the rear.
Right.
You just crack the lines open and let it drip out gravity-wise? Is that a recommended thing to do, or...?
Some manufacturers recommended that solely for ABS.
Right.
I remember early on. The only thing that I still follow that I was told was never use a reverse bleed going up with an ABS system.
Never. You don't want to go backwards.
It always goes down. So you can... And what I learned was, you can use a hand pump, you can use a pressure pump, you can use a foot method, as long as you're going the conventional method from the master out to the extremities.
Because I have both. I have the one that pushes up, and I have also the same thing.
Yeah, don't use that one.
Okay.
That's the... Oh, I always forget the name of that damn tool. I have it in my toolbox. I've had it for years. It's the Phoenix reverse bleeder.
Yeah?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Save exactly. My butt once on a hydraulic clutch job. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Good tool.
So, and then for that guy with the Ram, I would recommend the slotted and the rotors, you know, the drilled, because I have them on the truck.
I may be, this is Paul who's with us. I may be putting Paul in touch with you offline via email because we were talking about his son's Jeep and some front end stuff. And I said, listen, Jeep and Al is the guy to talk to.
Right. So. Yeah, and it's interesting because you go back to some of the older YJs, they have that valve in it that locks shut if you lose your brakes in the back.
Mm.
And I had a hell of a time trying to get those things to work again, to the point where I had to change them out on my sons, because you break a line in the back, which is their steel, they rust through, and then you lose all back brakes. No right. matter how you bleed them, how you push it through,
right.
you just can't bleed them anymore. So I had a, the safety valve. I forget what it's called. It's
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, what a pain. Awesome.
I actually, you remember the old Wagoneers?
Yes.
And I'm talking 60s? I mean, I love those things. I had a million of them. They used to rot the brake lines right behind the gas tank.
Oh. Yes, right.
The gas tank is on the like the passenger side you know, by the frame rail, so you can't get to that line.
Wow.
And I had a 66 with a single circuit.
Okay.
Going down the block.
Fun.
Yeah, when that brake line let go.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I've had that happen on a couple of them.
Yeah. Luckily, mine was a 76, and I had the dual master cylinder, so that worked out fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had the gas tank that looked like a coffin.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, on the side.
On the side.
On
big,
the
long
side
gas tank.
Yeah. I actually dropped mine, and I got an aftermarket tank to put where the spare tire was.
Yeah.
This way I could run true dual exhaust all the way out the back.
Oh, yeah. I actually made my own dual exhaust setup for my Wagoneer. It was tough. It was tough, actually, almost like
under the tank?
No, almost like a side pipe setup.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
It was loud.
You loop it around the frame and drag it underneath the doors, right?
Oh, yeah, cool. I had it on my 73.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Nice. All good stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
No, good conversation this morning. I'm enjoying it.
Well,
you know, because you reminded me that I got to do my brake flushes on all the cars.
It's important.
It definitely is
important. I'm a big proponent of that.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of people don't realize that, and I also got to flush out the radiators too, just to keep them clean.
Exactly.
Sure, you got. Sometimes that's another thing. With now the long life coolant, especially GM stuff, it turns to muck.
Does it?
And then you spend your life trying to get that cleaned out of God knows where.
Mm.
So if fluid changes and or flushes are definitely something that gets neglected quite a bit.
Right.
That now, shouldn't be if you're going to hang on to it.
Interesting thing on that is I had put one of the water wetters in one of my vehicles, and just to keep the temperature down. I think it was one of my old Jeeps, and that clogged the radiator. Why, I don't know.
Did it? Wow.
It clogged the radiator something more. The stuff came out, like you said, like mud.
Oh, wow.
After my first change, it was only about a year old.
Yeah, I used it in a couple cars. I had no trouble. That must have it must have interacted with something.
Maybe it broke loose muck that was already in a radiator.
Maybe.
That could very well be. Could have been that it actually had a cleaning process in it.
Put some stop leak.
A lot of people use that Evans coolant now, which is non-ethylene glycol. That's pretty popular.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work. You got to flush your system and then run it with their prep.
Right.
And then flush it again, and then put the Evans in.
It's like a colonoscopy exam.
Yeah, exactly, right.
But the thing to do with that is
and
like...
almost as much fun.
Almost as much fun. The thing, except it's your car who's moaning, not you. The time to do that is when you have a fresh system, of course, when it's a new installation. That's
right, exactly.
Yeah,
but,
All right, Al, we got to take a break.
Very good.
And,
nice talking to you guys
thanks
again.
For calling. We'll catch you soon.
Very good. Take care.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Jeep and Al. You can catch Jeep and Al on the Thursday night Plane and Traffic show that I do with Lou Santiago and Louis Lee. That's on Blue Jeans Network. The easiest way to catch it is go to just Google Lou Santiago Facebook and scroll down. They do a live Facebook. They do Facebook Live at the same time.
Yeah, they do. You popped up the other night.
And you can go to Louis Lee's All Ends Mag site. He has it up there, too. And it may be changing entities again. We may be moving to another site, and we'll let you know. But Al is a regular on there. And we have a lot of fun. Also, today at the AutoZM, they have an open house from 10 to 2 o'clock. 2-ish, maybe a little later. I hear Batman showing up today.
Oh.
So we're going to head over there. They're doing it in association with the Long Island Triumph Club. They're going to be over there today. It's 100 County Seat Drive in Mineola, right behind Sears, 7th and Franklin. So with that, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. So keep it where you've got it. Living in the 80s.
Take a better dance now. Jitterbug. Jitterbug.
Take a look, take a bag, and take a walk, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life.
Hey, I touched bubble very first time. I hope we'll have the answer right now, just to tell you once again, who's bad? Essential 80s is back. Join me, Ron Stevens, Saturdays at 10 a.m. for 2 hours of music, trends, and sounds of the decade of Michael Jackson, Madonna, Pat His Shoulders, and Dynasty. It's the 80s. Take the trip back to the future as we play the classic hits. Essential 80s, blast those Walkmans and Boombox Radios Saturday mornings at 10 on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Usual on Motor Mouth Radio, nothing ever goes as planned.
That's okay.
But that's okay. We're supposed to hit one button, hit the other.
We plan for the unplanned.
We'll hit it on the back end. That's okay. More, you're back with Ray Guarino, Joe D, Pirate Paul. We're sitting here talking about brakes and all sorts of crazy stuff that helps make you stop. And Al was right in the last segment. We talked about flushing. And I got to tell you a quick antidote. It's probably about 8 years, 8, 9, 10 years ago. I had bought tires for my wife's antidote. Car. What's that, Paul?
Antidote.
It's an antidote, yeah. An antidote.
An antidote.
And I ended up at Sears in Hicksville. Why, I don't remember, but I did. And as I'm sitting there waiting for the tech to put the tires on the car, I'm looking at the menu board of services they offer. And the first thing up there was brake fluid flush. And I there was a price, so I had to ask the guy, the tech. I said, do you do many brake fluid flushes? He goes, no, not really. I was like, why not? And he was the service manager. I said, at that price point, which was $25, I said, you should be selling the hell out of that. I said, you know what? If I could give you $25 instead of rolling around on the ground for doing this like I do, it's well worth the money. I said, you should be selling that thing like crazy. I know you're using an automated system, so it's not costing you, you know, it's not costing you even a half hour of time to do it. You know, maybe 15, 20 minutes max. They used to use the droid. That's what we used to call them, those little round droids, the R2D.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The pressure bleeder systems,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And with that, I mean, I worked in a shop where we had one of them, and you'd strap the thing to the master, open the valve, go anything, just open the valve. Just open the bleeder valves and stand back and watch and wait till you see clear fluid, close the bleeders, top off the fluid, done. Right.
Yeah, that's the stuff, unfortunately. A lot of people, they can't be bothered with it. Or sometimes what happens, too, is that you get stuck bleeders.
Well, that happens, right.
Stuck bleeders are...
But you know, there's a repair kit for if you snap one off, there's a repair kit for oversized bleeders that I've used a couple in the past.
Sure.
Yeah, you can get jammed up, no doubt. But, yeah, you know, a little PV blaster on there first if you see it. Work it back and forth. You know, be careful. Don't just put a 2-foot breaker bar on it.
Well, that's one of the things I know that I do, and I do like an oil change and stuff is... If I got the car up in the air, I'll just squirt the bleeders.
Right. For you next time. I do the strut bolts, too.
Mm-hmm. I also put the little rubber cappies on them, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, those rubber caps?
Yes.
Yeah, because otherwise you crack the bleeder, and of course there's schmutz in there,
yes.
Which is the solid form of schming,
right.
Which then when you hit the brakes, nothing comes out.
That's right.
So you got to take the stupid thing out and clean it out anyway and or purchase another bleeder.
I've actually sat there with the bleeder and a little pick, and I've moved the ball and squirted in fluid until it would, I've done that a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I wanted to say was, what I tell people all the time, brake fluid is like the blood in your body. They're two fluids that you don't know you need them until you see them, and you should never really see them. When you see them, you're in trouble. And people don't realize what makes their brakes work. Like, oh, there's fluid in there? Like, yeah. And you know, and if you see it on the ground, you're going to have trouble. So
yeah,
you know, service it.
You will probably be on the ground next to it soon.
Somewhere down the line, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that's another thing. You take a walk under the vehicle or a creeper ride, just make sure you don't see any wet spots.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or if you've got stalactites growing off of your brake lines, if they're rusty enough. Believe it or not, some of the newer cars, man, by newer I mean stuff in, say, the last 12, 15 years,
mm-hmm.
You know, rotted brake lines is a thing.
It is. Silverados was a lot of
GM trucks are particularly bad, but
right.
a lot of cars. I mean, it's
Ron
whether
had
it's
the problem with Chrysler.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunately it's become a thing where other for years. I mean, how many 20-year-old say cars from say the 70s, you know, back in the day, like say in the 80s or the 90s, like cars from the 60s and 70s. That you saw a rotted out brake line that didn't spend its life, say, at the beach.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now it's pretty common stuff.
And I'll tell you, when I pulled the brake lines out of my Pontiac, it's 52 years old now, so mm-hmm. it was like 48 years old at that point.
Okay.
Yeah, they were a little easy to bend, but they had, it was holding brake fluid.
Right.
You know, and those were original lines in that car. So
sure.
I think they've changed the, they get the lines from the same place you get that hose from, Paul.
Oh, yeah,
it's
okay.
It's a Qingyang warehouse in,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah, in well, Fuying. I don't
my,
know.
My, the, sorry, go ahead.
That's it. Go ahead, finish.
Oh, sorry. I said the XJ that I got for my son.
Right.
Those are known for rotting brake lines.
Yeah.
And I already had them replaced by the time I got them.
Let's see if we have a rotting brake line on the line with us when we go back to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi there, guys. What's going on?
Mark, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, dude? What's a good word? Good show.
Thank you very much. Well, you've had some brake experiences yourself.
Oh, sure.
What's up?
Oh, man. I have a question. I have a... one of my one of the fleet has it's a what the hell is it? It's a 99 Sable wagon.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Clean car, nice, like maybe 75,000 on it now. But anyway, the question is, I was in a gas station a couple of weeks ago, and getting a ball joint changed because it's it wasn't a fun job to do on your
back
in the
yeah.
driveway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
A lot of times I have to change the whole control arm. It's part of the control arm.
It was a nightmare. I could not have done it. I'm glad I didn't even attempt it.
Okay.
But anyway, I had noticed the brake lines coming out of, I guess, the master or the booster, whatever, you know, the fork coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of tight up there, and they're bent on an angle, and they go to wherever they go. Now, I noticed they seem to be pretty darn rusty.
Okay.
Okay? So, I mean, what I did, I guess a cheapo temporary fix, I coated them with a lot of clear paint, you know, spray paint.
Okay.
Just to keep the air off of it so it wouldn't progress fast.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Now, do these things rust from the inside?
Many times.
They can corrode from the inside. Yeah, that's another advantage of doing a brake fluid change.
That's usually where you find them, in a bend where the water can kind of lay.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they can do that, sure.
Yeah, because I'm thinking I really need to change that before it gets cold. I mean, they seem fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they're rusted, you can tell.
Right.
Yeah, time's coming, you know, and we've been there, done that.
This from the only guy we know who made a solvent to mask an expired inspection sticker.
Ah, yes. It looked like bird poop
yeah. Right.
It works like a charm.
Yes, we're all for that, yeah.
Let's hear it from bird
poop. I told you a while ago, a couple of years ago, I had to go to Pennsylvania for something, and the only car I had at the time, the damn thing expired, and I forgot about it. And, you know, you're going through tolls and stuff, and you know somebody's going to say something. So, a little bit of liquid whiteout. Got to grab a black Crayola crayon, chop it up into little pieces, make a nice compound, just splatter it here and there. So
that was great.
I remember
looks like
that
the real
show.
Thing. I don't yeah. think there's any cop in the world that has is going to have the guts to take it.
Right, right. Yeah, I got to wipe that off.
Yeah. yep.
Oh, that's excellent.
Should sell, right, so sell that stuff by the jar.
So I guess I'll be doing those lines.
We were going to look for Mother Switz's top soap next to Mark's inspection sticker fluid. We figured we'd see it at AutoZone soon, but
neither one
of them marketed it.
There is a market for that. What you may want to do is, you know, go down to your friendly neighborhood Ford dealer or, you know, Eddie, and see if they make those lines. Mm-hmm. Maybe bring the parts guy a cup of coffee.
Always better to get a factory pre-made part than something.
Yeah, there are quite a few of them. The more oddball lines, mm-hmm. Such as those that are pre-bent with funky fittings.
Like ABS lines and all?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm surprised on which ones that are available.
Okay.
And they're probably they're not in stock. But, you know, if they're a couple, 3 days out and you're going to plan when it's going to happen, mm-hmm. then you definitely should invest in that.
Yeah, front end,
that's
definitely
a good idea. Because I mean, where it is, it's just you have to take the tire off to get to it.
Right.
And it's like it just comes out and it bends and goes to wherever.
Yeah, pretty much something like that. You got to count on ripping everything out of the way.
Yeah.
Remember, that was assembled. That those lines were in there with the subframe or whatever
before they dropped.
Before
the body
went on, before the engine cradle went up, that was all done separate. So yeah, it was great then, but now.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should get the engineers who design these things to do it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, sure. Right.
What year is it? 98.
99.
Okay, so it's just about 20 years old. They figure that car by now would be on its third incarnation of, you know, some, you know, beer can or lawn furniture or something, you know.
You know something? It really is a good car. It truly is. I'm kind of amazed. You know, I mean, it was given to me from a friend of mine who moved to Florida, and can't knock it. Car looks great. Rides fine.
Now, remember, this comes from the guy who drives a Renault and has had a Vega.
Yeah,
so let's just preface it with that, okay, so everybody knows.
So we know where the bar is positioned.
Yeah, we know where the bar is set.
We used to go on road rallies with the Vega way back when.
Yeah, yeah.
Had to take, like, a case of oil.
Well, that's because there were so many people in the rally, you could always get pushed.
I think, if I remember correctly, I think, pretty sure we went through 6 quarts of oil.
Wow.
That sounds about right.
Wolf's head.
Like, that's why he won.
Miles or something.
Yeah, smoke screened them.
The first Chevy diesel.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun. Hey, so you like that, your modification to that picture I sent you?
Mark, you are a master. You know,
I laughed when I did that.
I sent you the copy of it. I sent out a picture of my new record storage shelves, and Mark sends it back with the Enterprise, and Spock is on my TV. And
that,
like,
was excellent.
Some piece of a TARDIS down on the bottom shelf. It was great. It was great.
I didn't realize it was a TV. I said, wait, there's a big screen TV there. Yeah. Let's add something to it.
Your car was in the picture frame where my car was. Yeah, it was excellent. Excellent. You keep doing that. That stuff is fantastic.
I laughed. Excellent. Anyway, you guys got to go to break, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mark.
Right, thanks for the call.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was our good old friend Mark, who's always a pleasure to have on the line. We're going to take our last quick break, and we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio. Again, you can call us at 516-572-7440. Check us out on motormouthradio.com or on the web at iHeartRadio or Performance Motorsports Network. Ray Guarino for Joe D and Pirate Paul. And you got any change in your pocket?
Hey, have you seen DJ Solero?
No. Why?
Well, he was supposed to be here right now to tell everyone about his show, The Rare Groove Session, but I can't find him anywhere.
I'll keep my eyes peeled. Maybe he went to get something to eat.
Food? He went to get food? I mean, who can eat at a time like this?
Relax. I'm sure everyone will figure out when they can listen to the most incredible music from the 60s and 70s that they may have not heard before.
But what if they can't? What if they never figure out when The Rare Groove Session is on? What happens then, huh? I don't want to live in a world where no one knows about The Rare Groove Session.
Hey, guys, ready to tell everyone about RGS?
DJ Solero, where the f*** have you been?
I was getting something to eat.
How can you eat at a time like this?
What are you talking about?
Don't mind her. Go ahead. Tell everyone when to listen.
Okay, then. If you're looking to hear some mind-blowing music, check out the Rare Groove Session Friday nights at midnight on The Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Hey, you in the car? Yeah, you. You're a fan of the music of Sly Stone. I know you are. No reason to hide it. You've probably been looking for a radio program that highlights his music. Well, then look no further. Let me introduce myself. I am DJ Solero. That's soul followed by air and an O. Solero. Well, never mind about that. Back to what we're both here to talk about. The Sly Stone Show features the music of Sly through the various artists who have covered and sampled his music, and I'll be playing some of the original music that helped impact a generation. Come on, I know you're looking for some feel-good music, so just keep your radio right here for the Sly Stone Show. And you might want to think about cleaning up your car before we start. This thing is nasty. Oh, back to what's important. It's the Sly Stone Show every Friday afternoon at 3 on The Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Rejoining with commercial sounds from the backyard of some train station somewhere. I don't know where the heck these guys recorded this stuff, but
it's all in the acoustics.
Dennis DeYoung and the Good Boys at Styx are providing the background music on this issue of Motor Mouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Joe D, and Pirate Paul. Last segment, guys, where do we want to go with this this break thing? Any other issues or concerns? Paul, you were talking about at breakfast, you talked about how the Dune Buggy had a brake pull.
Yeah.
Cover that, because that was another interesting topic that people
very
may want to know
interesting.
About.
Odd thing about that was, after I built it, first few miles, everything was great. Driving down the street, stopped at a stop sign, everything wonderful. Roll down 2 blocks to the next stop sign, hit the brakes, and the thing changes lanes on me. I was like, okay, something broke. So I got it home. We took the front wheels off, checked everything. Everything looked in order. Took the back wheels off. Everything looked fine. Readjusted the brakes, took it out. Still was pulling to the left. And it was that way up until I did the changeover. When I built it originally, I used a brake kit, which came with all the parts, and it was all import stuff.
Okay.
When I changed out the fluid, I had purchased two brand-new German wheel cylinders for the front. Mm-hmm. I changed those wheel cylinders out, and as of yet, it hasn't pulled to the left yet.
So the takeaway was the import stuff, crap. The German stuff,
good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah,
good.
And that's a testament we've seen time and time again. It's like the offshore stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I was with Kevin in his GTO about a month ago. We're driving back from East Rockaway Cruise Night. We're on Sunrise Highway. Four-wheel drum brake car. You know, bigger car than the buggy, of course. We go to stop at a light in Freeport, and I see the steering wheel, like, do this, and he grabs it. We take off, and I said, did I just see what I thought I did? He goes, yeah. Yeah, the car really pulled hard left. I'm like, what's up? He goes, I don't know. I'll check it when I get home. And it was a bad wheel cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, yeah.
But these wheel cylinders looked fine.
His weren't German or Chinese.
Yeah. But the one thing was, one of those Chinese wheel cylinders after the first season, the thing blew out on me.
Okay.
For no reason. I get
to
a car show.
There was your indicator right there.
Yeah. Well, I went to a car show.
So when it blew out, what'd you change it with?
I changed it out. That's when I bought the German ones. So I put one German one in, the right front.
Oh.
But I still had the pull.
Had the left pull.
So. Okay. Once I did the change out, I cleaned out the German wheel cylinder, and then I replaced the Chinese one with the new German one.
Okay, got it.
Readjusted
everything.
I thought
maybe everything. You did them as a pair.
No, I didn't. I actually didn't. I should have said that. But
For once, you didn't give me all the information on the story.
No.
Which is very
sometimes
odd for
I
you.
Give you. Most of the time, I give you too much.
Too much, that's right. But this, that was
TMI.
All.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's a good lesson, because people should know if they do have a problem.
Lesson is, when it comes to your brakes, don't buy junk. Well, I also bought those. I also bought the import pressure switches.
Okay.
Which are the ones, those are prevalent. I had to special order the German pressure switches.
Right.
And same thing, driving down the block, nice and happy. I go to stop at a stop sign, my foot goes to the floor. And I'm like, good thing I have a parking brake.
You'd rather have the brake pull than the.
Right. So I limp the thing home, and I'm looking all over, and I can't find a leak. I don't see any fluid anywhere. Long story short, Long story short, I pulled the boot off the pressure switch, and it's all wet.
Wow!
And the top of the pressure switch is blown off.
Oh, it popped off! It popped its top.
No, it punched right through the plastic.
Jeez!
You know,
now when Paul ran this by me, the next thing I did was ran it by you, Joe, because of what you do in your day job. And you said you see this stuff quite often with switches, also.
Yeah, correct? Especially with .5. Yeah,
yeah.
For some reason, they can't construct they can't construct the switch. That stands up to .5 because the various internal components, you can't get them that they've re-engineered it. They rather keep it the same engineering that they have for the last 50 years.
The question I have is this. Harley Davidson has a factory .5 fill with pneumatic brake pressure switch.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's not a double pull. Otherwise, I was going to recommend that to Paul.
I love
it. They do it. Whoever makes their switches does it. So, somebody is doing it.
It's economics. They might... travel the world, you know, if somebody were to travel the world and make a lot of phone calls or whatever, they might find somebody with the right components to do that stuff. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, a lot of guys that still have hydraulic systems are old school guys running, you know, .2.5.
Well, yeah. But like I said, with that, you know, and they even Hollywood did that for years. And it's just a matter of engineering. It's just R&D and the components. Mm-hmm. You got to do some life cycle stuff to Paul, like what Paul and I had done in our respective jobs, you know, life cycle testing and R&D stuff. That's kind of what a company would have to do to address that. But
yeah, sometimes it also has to do with, they look at the demand for a certain item.
Right.
You know what
demand,
I mean?
Demand, interest, cost.
Right, right. How many vehicles, like VIO, vehicles in operation.
Right.
Like they see how many vehicles are out there registered, like if there's five, and, you know, I get to see some of that when I look up parts, because I go into the master listing to double-check the catalog, and, like, there's some cars that, you know, they'll see 220,000 or whatever, and there'll be other ones that say five.
Pierce Arrows?
Yeah, no, like, you know, like Chrysler products, some GM products, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But, and if something fits a specific car like that, the VIO is less than like a gazillion, they'll be kind of slow to produce it.
I can see it from a manufacturing corporate standpoint. I can. But then again, it doesn't account for all the people who do stuff like this, rebuild things and then use components that were not in there originally.
Right.
But then again, the OEM, the manufacturer may say, hey, you know what? We don't care about you, because we only care about people who are doing,
who are buying their cars. Yeah. You know, Well, that's the other thing, too. As cars get more complicated and more fine-lined and precise, you know, they spend a lot of time researching it for a particular... You know, if it fits a certain car, they don't care about anything else. As a matter of fact, you know, people sometimes call me up and ask me about specifications on a certain sending unit or switcher or something, and I'll be like, we don't have it. And they're like, well, why don't you make it? And I'm like, basically, it's like we've engineered it to work on the cars that we listed for in a catalog. And, you know, you could just look in the factory manual, which you should have if you're working on the car, mm-hmm. and you could test it that way.
Otherwise, take your tractor and go out to the field and bale hay.
Right, exactly.
Without the part, because we're not giving it to you.
Right, yeah. So a lot of times that type of generality that they had in the old days, they could tell you every thread is gone. Because it's just too much stuff. It's too damn complicated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just need what you need to get it onto the cars that it fits rather than worried about somebody's engineering project in the backyard.
Paul, Joe gets mm-hmm. questions like, will the 6-volt track the points I have work in my Harley or vice versa? Can I use Harley points in my mm-hmm. John Deere? They really, mm-hmm. they send them these questions.
I believe it.
Right. Or the dog ate my fog light. I sent that one to Ray.
That was a good one.
Yeah, the dog ate my father. Do you have a connector for it?
Right. Yeah, that was a good one. That was last week. Yeah.
So I mean, we get, you know, it's kind of scary because I really want to just come up with something that says, "Drop the wrench, step away from the car."
Yeah,
you should not be touching this. No, but that's the thing. These days, you have to be a little bit more tech savvy than you used to be.
Mm.
Let's face it. So, Ray, who'd you nab from the last...
Like last week, we have no one scheduled for this week, but you see how that changed.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, look who you got.
That changed quick.
Be careful what you wish for.
There's a woman from Duplicolor who's going to come on sometime in August. We haven't nailed down a solid date yet.
Mm-hmm.
A couple people. The guy Mitch that I dealt with from the Thursday night show, who's out at Radiance Electronics, he made the LED kits for my real lights in the GTO.
Right.
He sent me, originally he did like a piece that was maybe, I think, 60 or 80 LEDs, and I agreed to that. Now he sent me a thing this week because I figured it out. He put a bar in there, 800 LEDs per side.
Yikes!
And I told him, I said, great. At night, planes behind me are going to slow down
yeah.
you know, in the sky when they see this. So I want to get Mitch on the show.
The Empire State Building called. They want you to tone it down a bit. Yeah,
at least go to green since St. Patty's Day. You know, they mm-hmm. want to change the colors. So there's always a couple people in the clouds that that may drop down. Nobody's good. In the book yet. So if you know somebody, let me know. And
by all means, yeah. It's just I figured we would want to warn anybody just in case we had anybody right. offensive coming on or anything like that.
No.
Anybody yeah. offensive.
I didn't even tell him Paul was coming on.
No. Smart.
Yeah, wait, if there's any offending to be done, we'll be doing it.
I'm sure you'll have some stories for us next week, Joe.
Yeah. I got to get used to that. I haven't flown. My God, my kids were little.
Wow.
Yeah, so... My daughter was like 3, so, okay, that's about 16 years ago,
right,
so.
Right.
I have I have a little bit of mental preparation to do.
Okay.
I love it. I like TV shows and stuff about spaceships and whatever. I can't even get on a damn airplane, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Basically, Xanax.
Yeah.
Paper bag.
Right.
You know, something.
Well,
I'm not
good.
Sure.
When you travel with someone, at least you have a companion travel buddy, so that's yeah. good.
Right. You know? Well, hopefully I don't embarrass too much.
Right. Well, I tell you, we're going to try not to embarrass the guys at the Autoseum, because we're going to head over there now and see what's going on, and I don't know if we're too late to see Batman. He may be de-costumed, but it's not too hot today. He may be walking around
in his cape, nice day.
Cape and cowl.
He's Batman, come on.
Right.
Yeah, he probably has that thing air-conditioned.
We're going to shoot over there, see what's going on, and of course...
Yeah, whiz by if you got a chance.
And of course, keep it tuned for Kim Tracy. She's doing Thunder Road following us. It's coming up in about probably less than a minute. And that's it. We will try and program for next week. I'll find somebody. I know we usually do. And if not, we'll just we'll do our
own
thing.
And you'll just have to listen to us talking to ourselves again.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So until then, thanks for tuning in. Ray Guarino for Joe D and Pirate Paul on Motormouth Radio. Here we got it for Kim and Thunder Road.
Every Sunday, side by side of the microphones for the green light.
Yeah, you know what? It did the wrong track. Yeah, but it went back to track one. The dopey thing. Let's try that. Okay.
hear that from music? Thank you. Okay, more glitches. I gotta fix that. Bye.